If you would, turn with me in your Bibles. Dave made it easy for us. Genesis chapter 3. You know where Genesis is in your Bible? It's in the beginning. And that's where we're going to start today. Genesis 3, verses 8 and 9. In the cool of the morning, they heard God walking in the garden looking for them. Adam and Eve ran and hid behind the bushes. God called to the man, "Adam, where are you?"
Hopefully you'll bear with me this morning. Now we're loud. You know, we had quite a winter. Snow, rain, little flood thrown in. Did I mention cold? I was looking so forward to spring for a little break. It seems like we've just gone from winter to summer. It's getting warm. And I am battling weeds. And I am battling bugs. And they seem abnormally more this year with the farming and the crops. So it's been from 4:30 in the morning till dark at night all week long. Just part of life, folks. Adam, where are you? Adam, Eve, where are you? God was calling for Adam and Eve. Now, what was unusual about this is that always Adam and Eve come running to meet their Savior, their Creator. But this morning they were absent. Now, do you think God didn't know where they were at? He knew right where they were at, but He was calling for them because He wanted them to know that He cared. Let's take a break. Are you going to be loud or quiet? If you turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28, I'm trying to make it easy, as Todd said, by using Genesis. You don't have to look through the Bible for it, and I don't have to look through the Bible for it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. So God created man in His own image, in the image of God. He created him male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." You know, it's wonderful that God created man. You know, He created a perfect earth. He created the sea. He created the fish, the birds, the animals. He created a garden. And God does everything in perfection, folks. I can't even imagine what that was like. The animals in perfection. No illness, no disease. No issues. The plants, the fruit, just incredible. What a taste it would have. And He created all this with a plan. A plan that included the creation of man, creation of woman. To inhabit the earth, to inhabit the garden, to inhabit his creation, to be fellowship with him, and for him to have fellowship with them. It was his creation. Now, folks, it didn't stop with Adam and Eve. We are part of God's creation. We are created in God's image. What a wonderful thing. And something just interesting that I read in that verse. God planned for them to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth, the Garden of Eden, with inhabitants. For him, because of his love for them. You know, creation continues to this day. Dawson, new life. What a wonderful thing. You know, there's a beauty. Can you imagine Adam? What, 12 feet tall? What structure? Perfect in every way. Eve, perfect, created by God. You know, maybe sin has taken its toll on this old earth and this world, but we're a part of God's creation. We are created in his image. The women, understand, still God's creation, still beautiful in every way that God intended. Only sin entered this world. So God created man and woman. And here's the good news for us, folks, being part of God's creation, is that God wants us to return to heaven, to the garden, to the new earth, to New Jerusalem. And it is ours. This isn't going to continue. This isn't going to be our final place. In a twinkling of an eye, we will become immortal. We will be what God intended. And because God wants to walk with us, to talk with us face to face, folks, can you imagine what lays before us? No more of this earth. We are created in God's image. What an awesome, wonderful thing. You know, God had one other thing in his creation. And what a wonderful thing that he breathed life into Adam. We also have that life today, the breath of God. What a wonderful thing that we are part of God, folks. Also created was a day of rest. In 6 days, God had created the earth and the elements and the birds and the fish and the animals and man. And he created this, or rested the seventh day, just as we are here today, Sabbath. It wasn't only that God rested, but he created it for man. He created it for us to remember God. Today, that's why we're here, is it not, folks? To remember our Savior, to remember creation, to remember our future, to remember that God has given us back the new earth, New Jerusalem, the Garden of Eden. That's what today is for, is remembrance. To remember that we are part of God. God give us today. And I am so thankful for a day of rest and not working 7 days a week. God knows. He knows what's best for us. Let's move back to why God was looking for Adam and Eve. And we know why. Because they were hiding. Why were they hiding, folks? Because God had given them the choice. And we're no different than Adam and Eve, folks. We have a choice, do we not? Adam and Eve, and it's interesting this thought, because Adam and Eve had one choice, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God said, do not eat of it. They could eat of every other tree. How many trees were on the earth or in the Garden of Eden? Just one tree. That was all that they had to not comply with what God asked them. And God had planted the tree and told them this because he wanted to see if they would be obedient to him, because they loved him. One tree. Now, do we have one tree in our world today? I mean, the temptations are multiple, are they not? But they had, Eve and Adam had one choice, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Eve was walking through the garden, we know the story. The serpent started talking to her, she was attracted to the temptation that he was providing. And I often thought, well, now, why on earth did she do that? Folks, I might have done the same thing. So let's not worry about why, but the fact of the matter is that she did. And she took it to Adam. She was tempted by the serpent, the devil, and she fell for the temptation. A choice that she had to make. God gave her the ability to choose. Did he not give us the ability to choose? And do we not have a choice in our lives? We do. And we have a Savior. Now, Adam participated with her in the fruit from the forbidden tree. And all of a sudden they realized what sin was. Because there had been no sin in their lives. Now remember, God had intended them to multiply and to fill the earth, only without sin and perfection. So they had hid themselves from the Lord. And God loved and cared enough for them that he was calling Adam and Eve, where are you? I still love you. I still care for you. And Adam answered, we were hid because we were afraid. Why? Because they now knew what sin was. And it was separating them from their Savior, from Jesus, their Creator. And of course we know that the end of the sin was that they were ousted out of the Garden of Eden and onto earth. God still loved them. But things had changed because he couldn't trust them in the garden any longer. But God had a plan. He loved them and wasn't going to let them go. He wanted to have that communication with them. Not only them, folks, but he wanted that communication with us. We have an opportunity to be a part of God's new earth, the new Jerusalem, the garden. What a wonderful thing. And it was immediately that he had come up with a plan to save them, to save us, folks. And they were then put on, and you know, it said the thorns and the thistles and the weeds and the bugs, and I know all about that. I know what a difficulty it is to produce a crop. The rain, the snow, the elements. But God has a plan for us. That's just a passing thing. Everybody aware of where our future is? Now, I want to read something to you. It's kind of lengthy. It's out of the Great Controversy, if I can find it. This was a plan that had come up for Adam and Eve and for us. The kingdom of grace was instituted immediately after the fall of man, when a plan was devised for the redemption of the guilty race. It then existed in the purpose and by the promise of God, because it was future to come. Through faith, men could become its subjects, you and I. Yet it was not actually established until the death of Christ. Remember, the Old Testament was looking forward to, the New Testament was Christ's sacrifice. Even after entering upon his earthly mission, the Savior, wearied with the stubbornness and ingratitude of men, might have drawn back from the sacrifice of Calvary. In Gethsemane, the cup of woe trembled in his hands. He might even have wiped the blood sweat from his brow and had left the guilty race to perish in the iniquity he had chose to do. You understand what I just read, folks? It was an option. Jesus had the option. He could have said, you know what? He could have said it when the sin had occurred in the Garden of Eden. He could have said, you know what? I'm just done with them. Forget it. I'm just through. In the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating blood, he could have said, you know what? It's just not worth it. Because our Savior had given up the throne in heaven to come down and take on humanity. And he could have said, you know, they're just not worth it. I'm not going to go through with it. I don't believe God or Jesus saw that as an option. It was an option, but I do not believe they saw it as an option. Folks, out of the importance of that option, the importance of our Savior following through, is I don't believe you or I would be here today. If God had said, just forget it, I'm done, let the devil wipe him out, be through, finished. But did our Savior say that, folks? He did not. He went through with it. But when the Savior yielded up his life and with his expiring breath cried out, "It is finished." Folks, do you know the significance of that? That meant Adam and Eve, all the generations after, our generation, us, generations to come, had a surety of salvation. It was no longer if or when or if God was going to take the option. He cried, "It is finished," and it was. That was the ending of sin. Then the fulfillment of the plan of redemption was assured. The promise of salvation made to the sinful pair in the Eden was ratified all those years before. The plan that had come after Adam and Eve sinned was fulfilled. It was finished. The kingdom of grace, which had been before existed by the promise of God, was then established. Folks, does our Savior love us? Without a doubt, without any question, I know this for a fact. And does he watch over us? I'm going to relate a little experience that happened to me this week. I have laser leveling equipment, big tractor, scraper. I have a tower that has what I call the sender on it. It's the brains. And it tells the receiver on the scraper with the tractor what to do. And it can make the land perfectly level for irrigation. I can put fall. I can do all kinds of things. Whatever I program in the brain, the sender, the receiver gets and does, and the tractor functions. Absolute, and it's a wonderful thing because I can put irrigation water on, more water, use less water to do it. If it's that deep on the top of the field, it's that deep on the bottom of the field. It's just lasered. So I was lasering, I was done. I had to climb up a step ladder to get to the top of the tower to take the cinder on and or the cinder on and off. And it feels more heavy than it did 5 years ago. I don't know why these things get heavier. You know, it's like a bale of hay. The last bale of the hay on the field always is the heaviest. I just don't know why, but it's always the heaviest bale. So I took the receiver off and was climbing back down the tower with the cords, and I got or climbed down the stepladder and got about halfway down, and a gust of wind just blew. As we know, the wind's been blowing. I had the receiver in this hand, and it's heavy, and it caught me, and it blew the ladder and me over. Now, that could have been disastrous. Folks, I landed on my feet. I didn't land on the tower. I landed on my feet. I didn't land on my hips, didn't land on my arms, didn't land on my hands. Do we have guardian angels, folks? And I know each of you have stories. But I know God was watching over me. The cinder fell out of my hand and hit the ground, and I was afraid, well, that's an expensive piece of equipment. It worked fine. So not only did God watch over me, he watched over the cinder, and I praise our Savior for what he does for us. Because he does watch over multiple times. I could relate. I could just take the rest of the hour and relate stories. And I know God watched over, and I don't even begin to know how many times my guardian angels watched over. And I know he watches over each of you. I know that God watches over each of you. You are important to our Savior. A man that followed through with salvation died on the cross that he might finish sin, that he might restore to us heaven, Garden of Eden, new earth, new Jerusalem. And it's ours. And I know I preach about this, but folks, our world is getting short. All the elements, I can see it just in my farming. All of my products, all of my inputs, just continue to go up every year in price to the point that I'm thinking, where's the end of it? How much longer can I survive it? Just a short example. Alfalfa seed 3 years ago was $7.80 a pound. I remember when I threw a fit when it got to $3.62. Now it was at $7.80. I'm going, this is, you know, the fertilizer, the everything, the parts, the shipping, just... So last year, my alfalfa seed went from $7.80 to $8.50 a pound. I thought, Lord, you know, where's the end to all this? Well, I just got the bill for it this year. $10.20 a pound. It just doesn't seem to be ending. Well, you know what that tells me? I'm not worried about me. Other than, am I ready for heaven? Because I know our Lord's coming back soon. Just look at the troubles and trials in our earth. And Eve had, and Adam had one temptation, not to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I know the temptations are multiple today. But we have a way and a choice to follow our Savior and obey. If you love me, he says, keep my Ten Commandments. You know, Adam, Seth, Enoch, Methuselah, oh, and we don't get to live to be 800-900 years old either, do we? What a life that was when they were just fresh out of the Garden of Eden. Enoch, Methuselah, Noah, Seth, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jesse, David, Joseph, Joseph, husband of Mary. What a lineage God came to this earth through. Great Christian men. Does God know what he's doing? Absolutely. No question. Our Savior, who sat on the throne of heaven, was worshipped by angels, a part of God's head of the Father and Holy Spirit, stepped down to his creation and took on humanity. Does he love us, folks? Who he had created and became human to walk this earth, he became human. He gave up the throne to become human, and he bears humanity today. He gave up his life to save us, to live with him again for eternity. As was his purpose with Adam. Remember, we will go back to what he had planned for Adam and Eve and for them to multiply. We will inherit it. It's ours. Our Savior took on humanity, our form, scars of the nails and wound in his side. He is the identified with us for eternity. If you want to turn to Luke chapter 19, verse 41, it's just a little insight into our Savior and his humanness and his love. And when he was come near to, he beheld the city and wept over it. This was when he was entering Jerusalem. He wept over it. Why? Why did the emotion overtake our Savior, causing him to weep? He was about to give his life to cover our lives, to complete the plan of salvation. He had just triumphantly been escorted to the city where our Savior was, where our Savior wept when he was wept when he saw that some of the people would not accept the offer of salvation. God has one plan, and one plan only, to save every soul. Every soul. Every soul, past, present, and future. Now, I think he would have come back by now, but he wants to give everybody a chance. Maybe he's waited on me. You know, he plans to save every soul that accepts his offer. Remember when he said it is finished? The plan of salvation is complete. Do you need to understand what Jesus came to walk this earth for? And I realize that this is a familiar text with you. I'm sure you won't even need to turn. John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Is our Savior about, oh, you sinned, so you're done? Is that who our Savior is? He didn't come to condemn. He didn't come to say, oh, you sinned. He said, no, I come to save. Your salvation is yours. Accept it, and it's yours. I offer it to you. I come to what, folks? What did he come to do? Save. He come to save. It's just important to understand that our Savior has only got one thing. His intention is to save. We need to understand that, because his intention is not to condemn us. It just says that in the text. Now, one more thing. After Jesus' death and resurrection, he was leaving to ascend to the Father and to angels and to heaven to take his place on the throne. He left us with a gift. Does anybody know what that gift is? The Holy Spirit. John 14, 16 to 18. John chapter 14, verses 16 to 18. And I shall pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. How long is that, folks? Forever. He's with us forever. It's a promise. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. We are the dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, folks. How awesome is that? The world cannot know the Holy Spirit, because if they can't see him, what? He just doesn't exist. Do we believe in the Holy Spirit and the promise that God gives us? The world cannot, because they cannot see. Only if they could see him would they believe. How sad. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's a promise. Is our Lord coming back? Is salvation complete? For us, for Adam, for Eve, for the generations past, for the generations of present, and for the generations to come. Kind of neat, isn't it? Dawson has a future. God's creation. We're not left alone in this world, folks. We are not alone. We have a Comforter. We have guardian angels. They're watching over us. Watching over a poor guy falling off a ladder. They're with us, folks. If you turn to John 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. If you love me, keep my commandments. What was the sin that got Adam and Eve? Disobedience to what God had asked them. Do not eat. All these trees, all this fruit, all this given to them in the Garden of Eden, and animals and creation, and if you love me, just don't eat of this fruit. It was a test. It was whether they'd be obedient. For me, it's not any different. If you love me, keep my commandments. I praise the Lord for being a Savior, because I need him, folks. The plan of salvation is offered to us. It is not if or when or how. It's finished, folks. It's not an issue. It's done. Praise the Lord. Can we say praise the Lord for a salvation that is ours? It is finished. You are saved. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. But here's the important part. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank my Lord that he decided in Gethsemane not to write us off. I'm glad he said, you know what, I'm just done. These people just aren't worth what I'm going through. But you know what? I don't think that was ever a thought or an issue. That plan, God had, and Jesus had created that plan at the sin of Adam and Eve. I don't think it was ever a doubt. Thank the Lord for that. Jude chapter 1, verse 21. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. What? Mercy. What a gift. Mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. What a blessing. John 14, verses 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Folks, do we need to be troubled with all that's happening in our world? Because what? We know who's in charge. It's God's plan that will finish, not men's, God's. And it's on His timetable. And it's on when He's ready to come. And I praise the Lord He hadn't decided so that I have a chance. Because if He decided 25, 50, well, I don't want to say how old. He still was waiting for each one of us. Don't let your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That's personal. That's each one of us. It doesn't say, well, I go to prepare a place only for Hank. He's the only one I'm going to let in. No, it says for you. That's each and every one of us. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Folks, are we blessed with a comforter? Are we blessed with guardian angels watching over us daily, nightly, even times that we don't even know? I can't wait to get to heaven and talk to my guardian angel and find out all the times he pulled me out of danger, out of the fire, saved me in many ways. Not physically only, but saved me from temptation, kept me from evil. We are loved by a Savior. Have no doubt in that. From Adam and Eve right through to us. Oh, I can only imagine what it's going to be to meet Adam and Eve in heaven and on the new earth and the new Jerusalem. But once again, just as Adam and Eve, we'll be able to walk with our Savior face to face, be able to talk to our Savior. What a wonderful thought that is. Folks, you are saved through our Savior, and Adam and Eve won't have to hide anymore. May God bless each one and every one of us and you.
Please stand with me. Sing it like you mean it. We're going to be in the sweet by and by with Jesus.
See it afar.
Please bow your heads. Dear Father, thank you. I praise you for the gift of salvation, that your life and your blood covers us, dear Father, and that from Adam and Eve through all the generations, we have the plan and the assurance that it is finished. Thank you, dear Father. Thank you, dear Jesus, for the gift. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. May we be blessed in this church family, dear Father. In Jesus' name, amen.